conferences. One's coming up here in Wilmington in May. So she won't sing her praises, but I certainly will. So once again, Laura Perina, thank you.
Well, good morning. It is always good to be here. It's always fun to be here, and it's always fun to sit in the same seat that I sat in for how many years, because we are people of tradition, people that do the same things over and over and over again. And while I have seen that some of you have relocated, because Marie, you always sat behind me, you are in a different place right now. It's fun to be back here and seated in the same place. So I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to be here during Advent. I have to say this is the first Advent season that I have intentionally reflected on Advent and the 4 weeks of preparation that come up to the birth of the Savior. It's funny, I was thinking this week as I've reflected on it, that we take 4 weeks, some of us more, some of us less, in order to prepare for one day, you know, to get the tree up, to get the decorations going, to get our hearts prepared. And yet God prepared for that moment for over 2,000 years. And if we look at the scripture, every story, every person, every hill, every valley, every prophecy, every word was a piece of the puzzle that prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah. So while we only prepare for 4 weeks, God had this planned and prepared. How special it is that his son came and that we have the opportunity to celebrate it. So let's just open up with a word of prayer as we open up the Word of God. Father, we are thankful for the preparation that you made for 2,000 years, and we know before the creation of the world, you already knew what was going to happen. You already knew that we were going to fall. You already knew that we were going to need a Savior. And so you had prepared the way for the Messiah to come, and we stand here, sit here today. We rejoice here today as a people who are changed because your son came into this world. And so we thank you for the meaning of this season. As we reflect on your story this morning, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that we would hear your voice. And God, we thank you for what you have prepared to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So sometimes we think that our own personal stories are so unique. And I have a personal story to share as we open up today, and it's very funny because John and Tabitha just referenced a very similar story without even knowing what I was going to share today. They have a very similar story as well. But many of you know Dan is a pilot. He flies for Delta Airlines, and we have been together for married for 26 years, been together for 27 years this week. On one of our very first dates, Dan had a package to deliver to Memphis. And so he asked me on one of our very first dates to take an airplane ride with him to Memphis to drop off this package. Now, that was kind of out of the box for me because, to be very honest with you, we only dated for 5 weeks, right? So I did not know him very long when he asked me to get in the airplane with him, with just him. Number two is that my dad was afraid, like nobody else, of getting in an airplane. And because of his great fear for airplanes, we typically made most of our journeys on the ground. So for me to be in an airplane with somebody that I really didn't know very well, being in the cockpit was quite an adventure and quite a moment of trust, to be honest with you. The third thing is that we really did not know each other very well. And before this, I had never been invited into a cockpit. Not only had I not really been on an airplane that often, we traveled mostly by road, I had never been in the cockpit. A few times that we were on airplanes, we sat in the back where the people sit. And so when you are sitting in the back where the people sit, where we all sit, we have a very limited perspective on what we can see. If you are one of the people who happens to have the window seat, you know that your window is still only a very small window, and your perspective is very small. We can only see out the one side of the plane. We have a very limited view. If you're not one of the people who are seated at the window seat, then you know you can only see what you are craning your neck around the person at the window seat in order to see anything. So from my perspective in an airplane for all of these years was very limited, but at this moment, on this date, with this man, I was brought to a new place. I was brought into the cockpit and I sat in the right seat. Now, what I noticed in the cockpit was the fact that while my view had been very limited, my perspective on where I was going was very limited in the beginning. Being repositioned closer to the captain gave me a brand new perspective on my journey. I could no longer only see one small piece of the puzzle. I could see to the left, to the right, and I could see straight out the window. The closer that I was brought to the captain changed the way that I saw my journey. But what I noticed as we got closer to Memphis, when we started and we took off out of Wilmington, it was clear skies, everything was great, it looked like it was going to be a great flight. The closer we got to Memphis, Dan told me the clouds were going to be rolling in, and very soon I couldn't see all the twinkling lights below. It happened to be around Christmas time. So I couldn't see all the lights on the ground. I couldn't see the cities and the farms any longer. It became a little darker, and eventually we got to the place where I couldn't see anything. And we've all been in an airplane or in a situation where you look out the window and all you see is clouds. We were in the dark. The clouds were rolling in. And I noticed, because Dan showed me, that there is a place in an airplane where you can see how many feet you are from the ground. I noticed we were getting closer and closer to Memphis, closer and closer to our destination, and yet the skies were getting darker and darker. And so the closer we were getting, and I saw we were coming through 2,000 feet and 1,500 feet, and we were down to 1,000 feet, and I still could not see the runway. And Dan was using the instruments and getting everything lined up exactly where it needed to be. And yet I still could not see where we were going. At 500 feet, we broke through the clouds, and there was the runway exactly where it was supposed to be. Because the one who was in control of the journey the whole time knew the destination, knew how to get to the destination, even if I could not see it with my eyes. Isn't that the way life is? I was brought closer to the captain, and so because I was brought closer to the captain, my perspective on my journey changed. I thought my perspective on the journey changing was going to allow me to see the whole story, but even while my perspective changed, I still could not see it all. There is a time in our lives where we are no longer content to sit in the back of the plane. There is a time in our lives where we cry out to be closer to the one who is in control of the journey the whole time. We long to be closer to Jesus. We long to know more of his perspective, his view, because our perspective on our situations is so limited. But quite often we find that while we are on a journey, while we get closer and God calls us closer to the manger, closer to the Savior, closer to the cross, closer to God on our journeys, even while he calls us closer, there are still things going on in places that we cannot see, that we are not going to see in the now, we are not going to understand in the now, but we trust the captain who is in control of the journey all of the way. There are moments in God's Word, actually, if we look at every single person in God's Word, I would be surprised if we could find one who was not, where God was intentionally ordering their steps to bring them closer because they did not understand the whole story where they were. And I believe as we look through God's Word, there is one specific word that is used over and over again, but we don't always see it in the Bible when we read it now because of different translations, where God is calling his people to come closer to the captain, and see with the eyes that I have given you, eyes that can see into unseen places, trusting the one who holds it all together, rather than just focusing and staying and keeping our eyes on our circumstances. And that word is behold. The word behold in the Greek is a word that is spelled E-I-D-O. I'm pronouncing it as I do. And is used 655 times in the scriptures. Now, that blows my mind, and I'm sure it does yours too, because we typically read modern translations with English that we speak and say and understand differently than the King James. The King James Version and the New King James Version use the word behold more often than other versions do, but still they don't use it 655 times. It's also translated as to see deeply or to know in a different way. It's that deep knowing. It's that deep seeing. It's not just passively taking information into our eyes and interpreting in our mind as to what we see. Behold, actually, by definition, the Greek word for behold actually means to gaze intently upon, to contemplate, especially a thing or a person who is remarkable. So this morning we're going to look at the Christmas story because I think what we're going to see is everyone who was invited to the manger that morning in the original language was told to behold. Because God had something in that moment that they were to gaze intently upon. Something that they were to contemplate because there was something just ahead that was remarkable. Now it's interesting if we look at the first century in Israel, if we look at the time when Jesus came, we know the story. It was not a good time for the people of God. It was a dark time. It was a hard time. And you know, we can read this in the Bible and we can talk about it in small groups, but when we really reflect on the extent of the darkness of that time, it's quite chilling, actually. You know, to think that not long after the Savior was born, the leader of the people killed every baby under the age of 2. We say it, we hear it, we know it. But to think if that happened today, this was a very, very dark time. They were ruled by a very, very oppressive people. But it was in that dark time, in that very challenging circumstance, that God came and said, behold. Because what you see around you, darkness and oppression and cruelty and things not going the way they should for the people of God, right? That's what we think. In this time of oppression and challenges and struggle in your life, I have something in the middle of all this chaos. You know, do you have chaos in your life? He has something in the middle of all of your chaos that we are called to gaze intently upon, to contemplate, and then keep your eyes open for something remarkable. Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, we're going to look at each of their stories very quickly. Each one of them had a moment in their lives where God was repositioning them, bringing them from the back of the airplane into the cockpit, bringing them from far away closer to the Messiah. And in that change, in that taking them from way far away into closer to Jesus, they were going to find something remarkable in their journey. And I think every one of these people or people groups has been through something that we can all relate to in our everyday circumstances. You know, we can start with Mary. Mary had her life mapped out. We'll read her story in just a minute. But Mary was betrothed to a man named Joseph. And if you know about the betrothal process, not only was it planned by the parents, but it did have to be approved by the man and the woman, or the young girl and the young man. So they had approved this marriage, this betrothal. She knew how her life was going to go, right? She had it all planned out. She was getting married. Everything that she thought was going to happen a certain way was what she had planned. But in one moment, in one visit from an angel, her whole life was turned upside down. Everything that she thought was going to happen one way, her circumstances, what she saw around her, the things that she expected to happen, all of a sudden were changed transformed in 1 minute. And we know the story. She finds herself married and pregnant. And at that time, the punishment for being married and pregnant was stoning or death. So not only were things not going to go her way, the way she had planned, but now she was in danger of being stoned or put to death because of where she was that she had no control over. Her circumstances were completely turned around. I believe that there are times in our lives where we cannot relate to the threat of stoning or being put to death for our actions like this. You know, it doesn't happen in our world anymore in America. But we can relate to times in our lives where we are walking one road. Mary followed the rules. She followed the law. She did what she was supposed to do. She was a follower of God. And yet her world got turned upside down through circumstances that she could not control. I believe there are things in each of our lives at one time or another where we find ourselves in circumstances that we cannot control and we did nothing to end up in the place where we are. But it was at that time where she could have looked around and said, God, how did I get here when I thought I would be there? In Mary's own personally challenging, could be chaotic time, there's a visit from an angel. And in Luke 1, 30-31, the angel says to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. God was saying through the angel, Mary, you didn't think you'd end up here. You didn't think your circumstances were going to look like this. You did everything the right way. You had no idea how you were going to end up in this place. But here you are. I am telling you now to behold. I want you to look at your unexpected circumstances. I want you to gaze intently on it. I want you to contemplate it. And then I want you to watch for something remarkable. And the angel says, a son will be born. The Messiah will come and he will come through you. Mary never imagined that God would use her challenging circumstances to bring about the Savior of the world. When we are in challenging circumstances, we do not know what the remarkable is that God has planned, but we can know that God has planned something remarkable. And it is easy for us to look at challenging circumstances and say, this is the end. And you know what? If God is taking circumstances apart, we can still believe that there is something remarkable in the taking apart. Wherever we are, God has purposed it for remarkable, according to his definition of remarkable. And so Mary would have looked and said, I do not know how we got here. And God is saying, I am bringing you closer. I am bringing you closer to the Messiah, to the Savior of the world, to the Son of God. Now keep your eyes open and watch for the remarkable. Joseph was in a similar story. Joseph's journey was going to change too. He also had his plan all turned out. But I see his story just a little bit differently when I was reading this morning. Because Mary had a perspective from the angel saying this is what is going to happen. Joseph now had Mary coming and telling Joseph what God's plan was. And so it put some emotions inside of Joseph that Joseph maybe wasn't anticipating because he certainly wasn't anticipating the story. But Mary was saying this is God's plan for us. This is the story, Joseph. I know what it is. An angel has told me. God has revealed it to me. And Joseph took a moment and he began to wonder where his place was in this story. And so maybe out of fear, or maybe out of insecurity, or maybe just out of uncertainty or a lack of control, Joseph saw God's plan unfolding. And he couldn't figure out where he fit in God's story. I think that happens to us as well. I think we're on our journeys, and quite often we know where we fit in God's story. We know where we fit, where God has purpose to take us, and the place that he's positioned us. Maybe it's in ministry or at work. We know where God has put us and for what purpose to shine his light. But then we find out that maybe the story that God has written is going a little bit of a different way. And we start to say, God, I know you called me for a purpose. I know I have a part in this story. Where do I fit in now? Because this story does not make sense to me. And I'm not understanding my place in the story anymore. And so he left Mary. He went away. The Bible says in Matthew 1:22, it says he considered it. That means he thought on the facts. He thought on what he could see with his eyes. But I know that you know that when God is writing a story, it is usually with things that we cannot see with our eyes. If we went by what we could see with our eyes, I used to say in Bible study all the time, I would not get out of the bed. Are you there too? If we went by what we see with our eyes, we would stay in a place of defeat and despair. Because on our own, in our own power, we cannot overcome circumstances in our lives. We can work hard. We can do right. But on our own, we cannot change the things around us the way that we want them to go. But as God, with Joseph and with us, is taking us from far away and bringing us closer to Jesus, closer to God, closer to understanding his plans and his ways, we start to say, if I can't see through the clouds at 500 feet, I'm still going to go with the story. And that's kind of where Joseph was. He was 500 feet over Memphis, and the clouds were dark, and he didn't know where the runway was, and he wasn't quite sure if he really belonged in the plane. But God said to him through an angel, let's look at verse 22. All of this is done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, Joseph was so obedient, did as the angel of the Lord told him and took Mary to be his wife. Man, an angel showed up. God is so good. The angel didn't show up right away. He knew the journey that Joseph needed to go on. And at the right time, God said, I have something here for you to gaze intently upon, Joseph. I have something here for you to contemplate, because I have something remarkable coming your way. We wish sometimes that the angel would show up right at the very beginning. That God would show us the remarkable at the first step. And yet God chooses to show the remarkable in his timing, quite often much later on. Every chapter of our lives has a moment that God is calling us to behold, to come closer to the manger, to come closer to Jesus. And I was really reflecting recently, too, that so often it is in our dark, challenging, chaotic spaces that if we are not careful, we can miss the remarkable that God has. You know, today is December 15th, and on December 15th, 1998, which was 21 years ago today, we adopted our daughter Emily in Volgograd, Russia. This church had a huge part in blessing us through that adoption. We call it Family Day. So today is our 21st Family Day. That is a miracle. It's a beautiful, beautiful miracle. But I will tell you that for the 4 years of struggle leading up to Family Day, I just wanted to be at Family Day. 4 years of struggle, and every single one of those years, I wanted to jump ahead to 1998. I didn't want to live the struggle. And so I walked a road that was not in the present. I was constantly contemplating the future. And I look back now and I say, I missed so many remarkable things, so many remarkable times in the struggle, in the darkness, in the unknown. Because my eyes were just, God, get me out of this. I don't want to be in this anymore. I want to be past this. I want to have that baby in my arms. When God had so many things to teach me along the way. Mary and Joseph, and we'll see the shepherds soon, they were in a situation they did not understand. And you know what? They had to wait 9 months. You know? Every month being a preparation for what was next. My Family Day story has taught me that I will not miss the miracle of the moment in my crazy and in my chaos anymore. When situations are not playing out the way that I think they are to play out, when circumstances happen in my life that I would not have put into my story the way that they're going or have gone or will go, I am stopping. God has taught me to behold, to gaze intently on what is happening, to contemplate what God is doing in unseen places when I can only see certain things with my eyes. And then he has shown me to watch for the remarkable. And you know, when you come at your challenges from that perspective, I find that you start to see glimmers of remarkable along the way. These are the things that we tell each other. You know what I'm expecting from God. You know what I'm waiting for. You know what I've been crying out for years and years and years. Today I saw this one little thing, and your friend will rejoice with you because you know that sometimes God gives us those moments just to say, I've got this. I'm doing a new thing, and you can trust that I'm in control. Don't miss the remarkable in the struggle. There is so much to be gained. And God uses the struggle to bring us closer to the Savior. The shepherds were in a similar situation. They were out in the fields when angels, don't you love that God sends angels to all of these individuals and these groups? When God sent an angel to the shepherds in the fields, historically, these shepherds were men who were guarding lambs that were going to be used for sacrifice. This was a very important job for the shepherds. They took it seriously. They were in one place. But when God brought an angel and said, Jesus has been born, the Messiah has come, he uses our word. Let's look at Luke 2, 9 to 10, and then 13 to 14 on your app. It says, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for, look, the shepherds get it twice, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Sometimes we need it twice, which will be to all people. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's keep reading at 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to each other, let us go now to Bethlehem and see the word, for see there is, E-I-D-O, it is behold. Let us go now to Bethlehem and behold the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen again the word E-I-D-O, when they had beheld him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. The shepherds were far away, physically, in the fields from what God was doing in the manger. And God was repositioning them from where they physically had been, from their circumstances, from the place that they were comfortable, and he was physically taking the shepherds and bringing them closer to Jesus. And he says to them, "Behold." And that means you used to be here, but I want you to gaze intently on what I'm doing. I want you to contemplate it. I am changing your location. Sometimes our location changes. It could be physically. It could be a job. It could be a relationship. It could be financially. Sometimes where we are changes. And God repositions us. But when he repositions us, whether it's a repositioning we wanted or we did not, especially when we do not, he says, "Behold." Because in this repositioning, I have a remarkable. So the shepherds did not even have any idea how remarkable what was ahead was going to be. And yet when God said, "Go," the shepherds went. They trusted the voice of God in the repositioning, having no idea just how close to the Messiah they were going to come. Something changes in our lives, in our spirit, in our soul, in the way we respond to each other and in the way we respond to God when he brings us closer. Our lives are continual journeys of these behold moments. And in this season, we have the opportunity to reflect on where we are, where he's taking us, and what remarkable might be ahead. I love the fact that when God said, "Behold," in the Christmas story, watch this. He said it to a woman. He said it to a man. And he said it to a group of people. Everyone is covered in the Christmas story. It could be a nation, a church, when we talk about the group of people. It could be a family. Individually and as groups of people, God is calling us to keep our eyes open for what he is doing. If he's rearranging our circumstances like Mary and we feel like we have lost control, there's remarkable coming. If we are not quite sure about our place in the story anymore, there is remarkable coming. And if he is relocating or shifting your position around, there is remarkable coming. But I want you to see that not one of these individuals that was called closer to Jesus in this story, not one of these individuals had circumstances that changed. Mary continued to be a woman who was pregnant and unmarried until Joseph married her in the story. Joseph continued to be a man in a situation he had not expected, and the shepherds went back to the fields. Nobody's circumstances changed because they made that first step closer to the manger. But they trusted God that what he was doing in the unseen places would by far trump anything they saw with their eyes, and they trusted God for the change that would come in their circumstances as well. You know, we can trust that if God has given us a promise in our circumstances, he is going to fulfill that promise. And the word is full of promises from God that we can hold on to for our families, for our churches, for ourselves, for our souls. He has given us, what, over 8,000 promises to hold on to. But while their circumstances did not change in that moment, the moment that God said, "Behold," they were brought one step closer to Jesus. You know, my challenge to myself is, if I don't see my circumstances change immediately the way I thought they were going to, I will take that step closer to Jesus. Because I know he is the one who holds it all together and holds the miracle. And in his timing, he will bring about to pass something remarkable that I will see with my eyes. Now, beholding didn't stop at the manger. If we were to look at the rest of the story, we know that Jesus grew up to be a man. He went around doing good, healing, teaching. He developed a following. He had disciples. We know that he went to the cross. We know that he took all of our sin on him. We know that he was crucified, buried, rose again, and ascended back to the Father. We also know that as he did that, he established his church here on earth to go out powerfully. That is what we are to do, right? We are here, the church, a representation of Jesus to the world, to bring people to the Father, to show them the goodness of God. And as the church grew, we know from history, we know from the book of Acts and other places in the Word, that just like there was chaos and dark times that first Christmas morning, when the church was born, there was chaos and dark times in the world as well. The church was being persecuted. People were being put to death, imprisoned, beaten, cruelly persecuted for their faith in Jesus. And at the same time, false teachers rose up from among the people in order to not only, you know, you can see the enemy bringing the church down with persecution and then trying to bring the church down with false teaching and lies to deceive the minds of the church at that time. And so they went around and they took what Christ had said and they twisted it and they turned it into something that wasn't true and wasn't holy and went to God's people and tried to feed them lies. It was a dark time for the church. As the truth was twisted and what was called evil was what was good and what the opposite was true as well. And so in that dark time, we find a man named John. John wrote a letter, 1 John, and we're gonna close with this last passage. Because John, if you were to look at 1 John chapter 1, John is the same John that walked with Jesus while Jesus was on this earth. And while John walked with Jesus in 1 John 1, he says, I walked with him, we beheld him, we touched him, we were with him. We saw the one who came to give us life. And in the middle of the crazy, when it was all crazy for the church, he writes this profound scripture in his letter to the church. It says, 1 John 3:1. He says, behold. Now, behold is a command, and we know that it means to gaze intently, contemplate, and watch for the remarkable. That means there's still remarkable to come. He says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us so that we should be called the children of God. We're talking about the love of Advent today, and I want you to see what God was saying through John in this scripture. It's pretty profound. He says, behold what manner, what quality, what type of love? Man, this love was the agape love, the self-sacrificial love that gave up everything that he was. He says, behold, contemplate the love of the Father that he has bestowed on us. Now, the word for bestow there means one way, lavish giving. When you bestow something on somebody, it is one way. If you bestow gifts on somebody else, you are not expecting a gift in return. And so John says, behold, gaze intently on this love that God is pouring out on us, not expecting anything in return, because there is something remarkable ahead. What's the remarkable? That we should be called the children of God. It's so deep. You know, Jesus came to save us from our sins, and he did that. He died on the cross. His blood, when we receive him as our Savior, covers our sin, and we are saved from our sin because of what Jesus did. But I was thinking about you, Greg, today as an EMT, thinking about doctors, thinking about others, individuals who save other people's lives do not bring them into their family. Am I right? All because you save someone's life does not mean that you bring them into your family. It is a powerful truth that Jesus went to the cross to save us from our sins. But he didn't have to bring us into his family. He chose to make us children of God. The journey, the Messiah coming to earth, led to the cross, led to, praise God, that if we are in Christ, we are free from our sins. But the remarkable about the journey is that we should be called the children of God. It's a whole different story. God is so good. He moves us from far away and he brings us closer. He repositions us regardless of our circumstances. And it's quite often in the darkest of our times that we are reminded how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. You know what that means in our challenges and at Christmas? It means that we can trust the one who is in control of the plane. Because if he loves us this much to save us and then bring us into the family, his remarkable on the path is going to be something we could never have expected. And we can trust him with it. He loves you enough, he loves me enough to allow our circumstances, to allow our hard times, to allow our struggles, so we will come closer to the Savior. If you are in a challenge this morning, if you are in a struggle, you are only there because he has allowed you to be there. Nothing is out of his control. But he is going to use that challenge and that hard time and that circumstance to bring you from far away closer to Jesus. We can trust him. Christmas is a reminder that no matter how dark the night, he has given us someone to gaze intently upon, to contemplate Jesus. He has given us someone remarkable. There is a remarkable ahead for us this Christmas season, whatever it is. Can we trust him with the remarkable? Man, I want to get out and say, okay, God, if remarkable is coming, it should probably look like this. But I have to trust that he's saying, okay, Laura, remarkable is coming, and it's probably going to look like this. And I have to say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm in the right seat and you're in the left. And that I get to be a child of God. There's one more behold at the very end of the word, and it's in Revelation chapter 21. The very same John that wrote 1 John is standing before Jesus in eternity, right? And what does Jesus say? We know. He says, behold, I am making all things new. That means in our troubling circumstances, we have a Savior who is standing before us. And he's saying, I want you to gaze intently. I want you to contemplate what you can't figure out. And I'm making all things new. And it's not a new that you would ever have envisioned. All things new are remarkable. If you'd stand with me, please. We are going to close out with a hymn, a Christmas hymn. But as we sing this, I'll be here. Others are here as well. If you would like to come and pray, or you want to pray where you are. Just some questions to reflect on this morning. Have you ever come close to the Savior? You know, Christmas is the perfect time, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, to take that first step from far away and come closer to. He wants you to gaze intently upon him. He wants to be with you in your troubling situations. He wants you to contemplate the goodness that he has for you in this place. and he wants to show you something remarkable. But the first step is by recognizing your sin. We've all been there. We are all there. And coming closer to Jesus. So if you haven't made a decision to follow Christ this morning, you can do that. You can come up during the song. You can see one of us after. Second thing is maybe your circumstances don't look the way you thought they were going to look at the end of 2019. You can trust him. God has something for you. He has a behold moment for you ahead. You can reflect on that and pray on that as we're singing. Maybe you don't know your part in the story anymore. Maybe your circumstances have changed so much you're just like, God, why am I here? Or maybe he's repositioning you in a family relationship or whatever it might be. He closes the story with, behold, I am making all things new. That's what he has for you today. Let's pray and then we're going to sing. Father, during this time of quiet reflection on your word, Father, we are thankful, so thankful that you brought us here to this place today. Father, we are thankful, so thankful that you have brought us to so many places that we didn't anticipate, we didn't see coming, but you have held it all together from the beginning and we trust you with it. So this morning, Lord, if there's anyone here who hasn't received you as their Savior, God, I know you're calling them like you've called us all. And I pray that the cry of their heart would be, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I want to know you as Savior, and I want to be part of the family of God. So I ask for forgiveness, and I turn to you. I want to make you the Lord of my life, in Jesus' name. For the rest of us, God, who know you, you are always using our circumstances to bring us closer to the Savior. And so this morning, wherever we are, God, I pray that we would turn our circumstances over to you and take that step from far away to closer to. You are remarkable. And we just want more of you. And so we thank you for all you've said, all you have purposed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. We'll sing that again as for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy. Can physically take a little tiny step forward just as an act of your obedience to Christ in response to this sermon, just right where you're at. Lord, I take a step towards you, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy. Give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Christ the Jesus, Lord, we give you the praise this morning. Lord, we say yes to you this morning. Lord, we lean in to you, Lord. We move forward with you. We move in obedience to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to be obedient, Lord. We ask that you would overshadow us at this time, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We trust you, Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. He cries, the Lord will give you all the glory.
One final thought that I had, as I was seated in the airplane that day with Dan, when we landed safely on the ground, I didn't want to know more about a Citation jet, right? I didn't want to know more about the Memphis airport, and I definitely did not want to know anything else about altimeters or any other pieces of the plane. But when I had been through that experience, I wanted to know more about the captain. Let the place that you are in drive you to desire to know more about the captain this Christmas season. Let's just pray and close the service. Father, we thank you for who you are. You are remarkable. You have done great things. You continue to do great things. And regardless of how our stories play out, we will watch for your hand for the remarkable in each situation. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for who you are. Thank you for this season. We celebrate Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas, and have a great day. Thank you.